the reason we're Great Britain and Brittany is Brittany, because that's Little Britain and we're Big Britain. Let's take that Britain back. Let's get all of that area back.
Who's going to call him? Do you want to get him to the phone to Macron?
What's Macron going to do?
Give it to us.
Probably speak to his husband about it.
Calvin. Welcome to this week's episode of Fox and Father with me, the Fox, and him,
the Father.
It is a show where Calvin tries to tutor me in the ways of righteousness. And sometimes he succeeds and sometimes he fails. But I think overall, in our relationship, you're succeeding, aren't you? Dragging me towards the... No?
I like to think so, yeah.
I was like, you're not looking confident.
The comments suggest so anyway.
Do you think they are?
Yeah.
I think it's good and it's working.
Anyway, I haven't got you to church yet, so we'll keep trying on that.
I came to church on Tuesday, Calv. What?
Okay.
I was in church on Tuesday. Why are you winding me up? Okay. Are you now invalidating my lived experience of being in church on
Tuesday? Which church were you in?
I was at your church on Tuesday.
Which one was it?
Well, do you want to tell the public the address?
Yeah, if you know it.
Okay.
David Beckham, tell the truth.
I want to be a communist. All right, we can't get off to such a surreal start. Okay, so the idea that we came up with for the show was because the world seems so absent of people who don't agree about everything but share a set of values, talking about the complex nuances in really everyday debates. And it's, you know, you guys have made it really brilliant and popular, and Calvin's always happy. So we have to start with, I think you can get a Fox and Father mug. I don't know how many they made. I think they only did it as a test, but they all sold. So
they were popular, weren't they?
It's white on the outside and black on the inside, which a bit like me. Whereas you're the opposite.
That's rude.
That's not.
That's rude.
Narinda Kaur can say it. I can say it.
I'm red on the inside, I'll have you know.
You are red on the inside. You're actually now really musty on the inside because you've done so many gym sessions.
That's true.
Anyway, so yeah, I have a story in an envelope. I try to occasionally out Fox Calvin with a bit of non-religion, but usually it's quite good to get something, his religious perspective. And then here's one for me.
Have you got any Jeremy questions this week?
My friend Jeffrey, you mean?
Okay.
My friend Jeffrey has... my friend Jeffrey's always got a view on stuff. Right, so without further ado, how are you, dear boy?
I am very well.
Yes, and you?
It's been a long time since I last saw you.
Should we even bother asking you anymore? Should we just wait until it's like... I'll just wait until you turn up and you're like ashen-faced and you're just like... And I'll be like, what would it take for me to ask you, how are you? And for you to say, I'm not doing well.
Oh, I don't know. It would take probably a death or a serious loss. Yeah.
Do Christians, when people die, think, shouldn't Christians be happy when people die?
On some degree, yeah, because we're hoping that our loved one has gone on to glory. But of course, we still mourn the loss of them in our lives, as Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. You know, when his friend died, he cried, which tells us it's okay for us to cry too.
Didn't he bring Lazarus back to life?
He did, which he does for our loved ones too. So not 2 minutes later. But
what a melt Jesus was.
Hey, calm down.
Couldn't deal with the grief. So it's like,
no, he did deal with it.
I miss you, Lazarus. Way. Ping. What are you? You're not liking it already, are you?
but
come on, there's a point to be made. Like, if you're a man of faith or a woman of faith or a person of faith, shouldn't you be thrilled when people die?
No, because it's sad because they're no longer in your lives.
I know,
there's two elements to it. This is why we mourn the loss, but we celebrate their life and we hope to see them again in the resurrection.
But you know you're going to see them in the resurrection, right?
We hope.
Wait, so
we don't know who's going to heaven and who's not. Only God knows that. We don't know if we're going to heaven or not until judgment day.
I've got a nasty feeling I might be going to the other place.
Then you better hope and pray and put the work in.
I'm trying, man. but it always, but they just call me a racist.
I don't think you'll go to hell for someone else calling you a racist.
You go to hell for your actual own personal sin.
Yes.
But we're all sinners, right?
I think we are all sinners, but we have to repent of our sins and have faith in Jesus Christ. And yeah. He offers us eternal salvation. It's his work, not ours, that gets us into heaven. His grace that saves us, his dying on the cross for us and his rising again to defeat death, he offers us that eternal life.
So there's no one you would be confident about saying you're going to heaven?
The church pronounces people that it believes to have gone to heaven, the saints. But I wouldn't personally say I think that person's gone to heaven. I say I hope that person's gone to heaven. Mm. And we don't even know when that happens, right? So we know that between death and heaven, there's judgment.
Oh, you're going to go down the... You've become a Catholic, haven't you? It's all the purgatory and stuff.
I'm not even suggesting purgatory, but there
what
is...
What are you suggesting? There's a gap between death and judgment. That sounds an awful lot like purgatory to me, my friend.
Maybe it is. Maybe you can call it purgatory if you like, but we don't know what happens between death and judgment.
What about all those people that like die and then they go down a tunnel and they meet someone and they go, it's not your time yet?
Yeah, those near-death experiences and all that kind of stuff. But I'm fascinated by those stories.
Do you think that's Jesus at the other end of the tunnel going?
I mean, I don't know who meets us, but it would be nice if it was Jesus.
Eternal...
Myth is it's Peter, St. Peter at the pearly gates, right? But I mean, it's...
Where does it say that in the Bible?
It doesn't. That's right. It's a myth. But
so they just made that up?
I don't know if people made it up, but it could have been revealed through vision. It could have even been made up. But that's the suggestion.
So if you don't know that you're going to go to heaven, that's a major incentive to be a good person.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
So, but in your favorite religion, you're guaranteed to hit up some fine young virgins.
But no, they don't say that.
They don't say that.
Well, the thing is that this...
Why don't... I mean, as
these
you can
72
tell,
virgins, they never actually say that they're going to be of the opposite sex, do they? They never even say they're going to be human.
You're such a nasty, evil, evil
I'm just
man.
Saying, they don't know what they're getting into.
Oh, come on. You can't say turn up and say they're going to be 72 female frogs who've never been kissed before. What are you meaning? Of course it's got to be 72 virgin girls. No?
I don't know.
No, that's disingenuous. What I'm trying to say is you are pointed in the direction that if you martyr yourself, you're pointed and martyr others in the, more importantly, in the process of martyring yourself.
Oh.
You are heading in the direction of the virgins, right?
Have you seen those videos where they're teaching young children to say,
oh God,
it's great to be a martyr, it's the best thing to be a martyr. Like they want kids to become martyrs for their cause. It's evil indoctrination.
Mm. And yet,
whereas the Christian we would say, I mean, to be martyred is of course a good thing, but we don't aim to be martyred. We don't want to suicide ourselves. We don't want to kamikaze ourselves.
I seem to be doing a fairly good job of it.
You're doing it right. I think you're a long way from being martyred. You get occasional persecution.
I do. I get mild persecution. Yeah. GCSE persecution.
In the grand scheme of things, yeah.
All right. So I'm quite good. I found a tiny little chink in your armor.
Go on. Where?
Well, no, just over the idea of, you know, what would it take to make you sad?
Well, who wants to be sad?
Like, no one, but come on. Some people are sad.
But even it's... Isn't just not very English, is it? Say, oh, everything's rubbish, I'm miserable. Like we say, yeah, very well, thank you. How are you? It's just what we do.
Fine.
Whereas it's more American saying, like when an American asks you, how's your day? They probably mean, how is your day? Whereas an Englishman would say, how are you? It's like, well, very well, thank you. It's a greeting rather than a question.
The permanently over polite, overcompensatory British people.
Yeah.
Whose country is being ripped away from them. Anyway, cheer up, chaps. Happy time.
Stiff upper lip.
Right, well, I'm fine too.
Are you?
I'm really happy.
Oh, good.
I've never been happier.
Oh, see, everyone's pleased to hear that.
Yeah? I'm like, wow. Mm. Just waves of it.
I can tell you've got a really happy shirt on today.
I know. Have you noticed that I've slightly dumbed down my Fox and Father outfit?
Why is that?
Summer.
Ah, I see. That's why I've got my spring jacket on.
Yeah, I like your linen spring jacket. You. I think that's, you could, I still think there's a movie in this.
Yeah.
I do. I just think, imagine we'd have to be, because we're both really tall, we'd have to be in like a really stupidly small car.
But that would work well for the screen because we're the same height.
Yeah, but we'd, well, you know, it's better to be small on camera because you've got lights and you've got cameras and all that. But if we had like one of those old, do you remember De Chavaux, those old little French two CVs, and we'd have your afro stuck out the top getting blown, and it'd just be shots of us driving across camera like that.
This is why I've always wanted one of those old fashioned minis to just like squeeze into. I think it'd be hilarious to get out of.
Yeah. Well, we can, we should get a Fox and Father mini, take it on tour.
Someone put on my Instagram just before we started, can you get someone to say the 10 a.m. mass, please? I've got a murder to solve. I was like, yeah, I like that.
Really? What? So someone who was actually a...
No, they put it on one of my, as a caption on my picture.
Oh, okay. Got you. So
for our show.
Yeah. I think it's right. They did try it with Lewis. They did sort of try the religious...
Oh, really?
Well, that my character was a...
Was he theologian?
He'd been to the seminary and left the seminary and decided to become a cop instead. And he was always thinking about God, and that created a depth to his character, which I played rather wonderfully.
But you and a vicar would be a great double act.
I think we should pitch it to no one.
Who's not woke? Which studio would do it?
I don't know. You know, but if we give it 5 years, people might just have rejected all this crap.
We can get Theon to produce it.
We'll get Theon to produce it, and we'll go from there. All right, well, look, I've got an envelope for you.
Okay.
You ready?
I am ready.
Even I forgot what I put in this envelope this week, but I seem to remember it's something that will probably set you off.
No, I can't imagine that. In the Tory graph, RE teacher suspended after saying Hamas committed no crime. Ronan Prestian, a year 9 tutor at a Catholic school in London, also reported to police over social media posts.
He said they were justified killing. He said they were justified killings, freedom fighters.
He said October the 7th wasn't a crime. There's nothing bad going on there, and that Hamas were justified.
What's so good for this one is I hit you with the Mohammedans from one side and education from the other.
It's a double whammy.
I'm just hoping. Some of your serenity might vanish.
So some of his tweets, I mean, he's got the Palestine flag as his avatar. Every you. Glory to Hamas.
Oh, God.
And freedom for humanity. Freedom from what? Victory over the imperialist racists. The destruction of the racist state of Israel is coming soon. Oh, bless him. This guy's a fantasist.
What do you mean, bless him?
He's clearly living a delusional life of these. There's oppressed humanity, and we all need to be freed from the imperialist race. What are you talking about? We stand shoulder to shoulder. Who's we? With Hamas, hashtag Palestine, who have been invaded by American and European colonizers masquerading as a Jewish state. Oh my gosh. This guy was teaching kids.
Yeah, that's what fucking worries me.
A mentalist.
The fact that that guy...
Yeah.
With that level of indoctrinated madness is teaching young children schools.
Props to the Catholic education school system for getting rid of him, because they tend to be quite woke, believe it or not, the Catholics in their education system.
Do they?
So the fact that they stumped him out and said, no, you can't be supporting a terrorist organization and saying that actually the October 7th crimes were not crimes and that killing people and abducting people was okay. You can't say that.
Why do we have moral relativism between... October 7 and any other mass murder that takes place ever?
Because people seem to believe it's okay to murder.
Why do they hate Jews so much? As far as I get, let me just...
Yeah.
Gavin Ashenden did a very good thing on
this. The treatise.
A chronology of the occupiers of the land currently known as Palestine.
Right.
You just break it down forensically to say... Yeah. It's never, ever, ever been Palestinian.
No,
ever.
No.
Not once.
Palestine is not a place. It doesn't exist. It never has existed.
It was invented by some British...
Palestinia was a derogatory term that the Romans used for that area of Judea. Mm. So there's never been a Palestine. Judea existed. It's biblical.
Mm.
But even, you know, I mean, people are going to call us Zionist shills for having the conversation, but those people are ignorant.
What's a Zionist shield? Just so I can check out.
We're getting paid by the Israelites to kind of, by Israel to kind of propagate their propaganda.
Are we?
Apparently so.
Don't think
anyone that's not anti-Israel is a Zionist. My take is much more nuanced than that. And if people don't want to hear it, that's fine to them. But the Jews of today are not the Jews of the Bible. The Hellenistic Jews, that faith was subsumed. It became Christianity. After the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the vast majority of those people converted to Christianity.
And the Hellenistic means so Greeky.
Yeah, the Greek speaking Jews, right? Okay. And after the fall of the Second Temple, that Judaism died out. This modern Judaism is a reinvention. This Talmudic Judaism is a reinvention.
Sorry. People who are thick like me understand. What's the difference between Hellenistic Judaism, Talmudic?
So now they have the Talmud, which is all new. It's all post-Christ. So it's post-Christianity Judaism, which is looking back.
What is the Talmud? I thought it was the Torah.
No. The Talmud goes along with the Torah. The Torah is essentially the Old Testament.
Do they leave any bits out?
I mean, it's not exact.
Septuagint.
Septuagint. I was going to say, yeah.
Oh yeah, my dad talks about that sometimes.
Yeah, your dad is based. the books of the Old Testament are still scripture, and the Jewish people of the time adhere to that scripture. But since Christ, they've taken on new things, which is the Talmud, right?
When was Talmud written?
I don't know.
After the American Congress made it illegal to say that the Jews killed Jesus. Do you read that?
No, that's very recent, yeah.
So what is the Talmud? Is it a book?
It's a collection of,
Post-Christ death's writing.
Which is why modern Judaism refers more to the Messiah than Hellenistic Judaism. So in Christ's day, most of the Jewish sects didn't actually have an idea of the Messiah, not in the way that we do looking back. We always think, the Jews were waiting for the Messiah and they didn't think it was Christ, which is blah, blah, blah. That's a very revisionist approach. Now they're looking for their Messiah. But at the time, it was like one of the major sects out of several sects that had this idea of a Christ.
And also, there's a sort of political element to modern Judaism as well, which was hugely defined by the events of the last century and all other centuries, other genocides meted out on this.
And the, on and this the Talmud. Group of
people. So that's maybe where the Zionism thing comes in, that it's the political element of it.
Well, because it's quite anti-Christian as well.
Is it?
Yeah. It's like quite anti-Christ.
Well, I'd be gutted if I was a Jew to lose 1-0 to Christianity. I mean, it must be gutted. Well,
this is the thing. They didn't lose 1-0. They became Christianity.
Right.
The Pauls of the day.
But however, what about Ben Shapiro?
All that to say...
It's not an answer, Carl.
The Jews of today are not the Jews of the Bible, but still doesn't mean they should be persecuted in the way that they are. So that's what I mean about the nuance, in that they are still a minority in the truest sense of the word. They're one of the smallest major religions. They have been exterminated and wiped out throughout history.
Yeah.
So I don't think the way the Mohammedans are treating them is good. That's not to say I'm a shill for Zion or for Israel. That's just to say that these are human beings. They're wrong on the case of Jesus. They're wrong on the case of the truth. But that doesn't mean they should be killed for it.
So they have to be wrong on the Jesus thing because basically they're responsible for having him killed.
Well, yes.
So they kind of got to go.
They're embracing. Yeah.
We weren't wrong. It's really tricky, isn't it? Anyway, I don't know why we ended up down that rabbit hole.
It's the conversation that everyone is having. Israel this, Israel that. It's like, what about Britain? Britain's actually imploding right now. Let's focus a bit on home as well.
Yeah, let's focus on Captain. Because I've got a personal connection to that. It's Wimbledon. That's where I grew up. Mm. The middle of the middlest class, rich upper middle class. Mm. Center of London, where Benedict Cumbersnatch bought my old family home.
Ah, so he now lives in Tufnell Park.
The no, apparently not. The home I grew up.
He lives down the road from my old church.
Cumbersnatch does.
Yeah,
I don't think he does anymore.
Oh,
and have you seen him recently?
No.
I think he bought the home I spent my whole childhood.
Wow.
Yeah, made some pretty major. Well, I've got a friend who's an estate agent who sent me some pictures of what he'd done to it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Has he destroyed your childhood home?
It's not recognizable as my childhood home. There is a 20-foot Buddha's head in it, though.
Oh, no.
You know, cause
destroy that.
Everyone needs one of them, don't you? No. Well, I think what we need here is a 20-foot Buddha's head.
Yeah, it's a massive idol to something. I bet it's not even a Buddhist.
No, of course not a Buddhist. He's just got $500,000 to ship over an iron Buddhist head from Buddhist land.
What is it about people, especially the upper middle classes, that like to have like shrines to false gods that they don't even believe in? It's like, it's exotic, isn't it?
Virtue signaling a depth to your character that you may not possess.
Mm.
That's what I think. I think I think charity can often be like that. I don't know if I've mentioned it on this in our conversations before, but I'm very, very distrustful of anyone who's publicly donates to charity. I love the fact that you hear on the down low that Sadio Mane gives $90 either a month or a year to every single person in his region of where he came from in Senegal.
Wow.
Trying to improve their lives. And George Weah did that in Liberia, didn't he? To try and improve the quality of life.
Did that as well.
Hmm?
Akon.
Akon. Who's Akon?
The rapper, singer.
Oh, look at me. I mean, if it's not a country and Western person, Senegal. I don't know, mate. So how do we get these little nasty little ideological twanks out of our schools?
Like that. That's good cancellation. That's saying, no, you can't support terrorism in our school. You're gone. Out the door. We need to be more on the case of social media, seeing what people are doing, as in not being Big Brother, but if you're working in a school teaching children, your employer should really have an idea of what you're putting out there.
What? Why didn't he just create a bot account and start tweeting out? Because he felt supported by the NEU or what?
Well, he was encouraged, clearly. And I suppose there was a lot of support on social media for his views, which are just abhorrent.
They are abhorrent, aren't they? These people were murdered. And I really love what's happening in America when they're like playing, well, I don't, it's horrible footage, but a organization put outside their silly little Hamas camps a big screen playing the footage with the volume on loud.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't seen that.
And then other people in America are starting to do play the American national anthem at these little communist bastards. It's mockery, really, more than cancellation, isn't it? You just go, these are just idiots.
Yeah.
I think when we'd had the BLM rising up, and we just said, oh, these are just, it's the number of people I saw just walking around with their George Floyd things on. They were all in their green hair and they were already, they're fully up for to get upset about anything. If society just went, well, yawn off. Mm. But society's got this thing where we're forced to like clap for the NHS. So it's sort of ingrained in our psyche, I suppose.
Yeah, but it's a mixed loyalty, isn't it? The amount of people that are so pro-Palestine that they're against the nation that they live in, it just makes me think, well, why are you here? Go and support, go to Gaza.
Speaking about that, go to Gaza. Go and spend some time, especially Queers for Palestine.
Yeah.
Go and have a nice time in Gaza, right. Non-binaries for Hamas. Speaking of that, why don't we deport them all?
Well, we should. And why are they still here? Someone tweeted me the other day saying, why is it that Mohammedans don't live in countries that already have Sharia? I thought, you know what?
Because they won.
No, it's the same reason that Democrats are leaving blue states. It's because it's not a nice place to live.
Mm.
So they desert it and then they create a not a nice place to live in the next place that they go. Like the Democrats keep taking their rubbish policies with them, not realizing they're the ones destroying it. The same with the Mohammedans. Wherever there's Sharia law, it's a horrible place to live. They move somewhere else, try and implement Sharia law there. Again,
what, in, like communism, in the hope that it'll, you know, no one's ever tried proper Sharia.
Yeah.
Is that what you reckon?
That's what I reckon.
I do as well. I don't want fucking Sharia law.
No.
And also, someone who's usually very reasonable turned around to me and said, I don't want my daughters covered. I don't want their faces covered. I want them educated. I'm like, why are we not standing up to this invasion of our country?
There's two extremes to that. We've gone hyper-liberal well, a woman should be able to wear whatever she wants, go out in the street half naked, you know, boobs out, bum out, whatever. Like there is a middle ground in that you should want your daughter to be covered to some degree. You don't want your daughter to be exposing herself entirely. But of course, you don't want her to be oppressed and shoved into a niqab, like a letterbox. So there's a middle ground to be found.
Middle ground is, I've got no beef with the bikini. I don't mind a bikini.
I would not let my daughter wear a bikini. I think it's
I feel terrible. So sorry for your daughter.
Why do you want your daughter exposing herself?
Until what age?
Well, while she's a child.
Oh, yeah, I don't want a child in a bikini. I wasn't talking about that.
Okay.
I was talking about some very beautiful, voluptuous person strolling down the beach.
What you're saying is you want to have...
I'm not
objecting.
You
want to objectify women. You want them to be sexualized in public so you can get pleasure from it.
Mm.
Okay, what do you say then?
God made women beautiful.
Yes.
So...
for their husband, not for everyone else to ogle over.
Well, you know,
I know the feminazis are going to go nuts at this, but there is a sense of decency. There is like
what's
people say
decent about a bikini. You're so prudish.
It's pretty much lingerie. It's like not, and it's been normalized.
No, it's not. Lingerie is like lacy and see through, and you can see nipples.
What's the difference
stuff?
Between a bra and a bikini top?
It depends on what sort of bra.
That's it. It's underwear. 50 years ago, that would have been seen as entirely inappropriate and for good reasons.
Because so what are they allowed standards. To wear?
It's not about what they're allowed. That's it. It's the liberty is that women have the right to choose what they wear. But with the right comes the responsibility to dress
to wear a Victorian swimming costume.
I'm not saying that. You're saying that. But I'm just saying to dress appropriately.
You'd be a bit... But that's not good.
Like, teenage girls in crop tops and short skirts and stuff, it's just... It's wrong.
Yeah, I certainly think the... Like, young girls that look like you don't even know what age they are. You see them walking around London in groups, and you're like, you could be like 12 or 20. I have no idea.
Yeah.
So that there's definitely a way of signaling appropriateness via clothing.
And but on one degree, that we talked last week about men wanting to stay boys forever and not actually becoming men. It's the opposite for women. Girls want to become women straight away. Makeup on at a young age, provocative dress at a young age. I mean, a woman shouldn't need to or want to dress provocatively anyway, because that's about sex. That's not about finding a life partner or getting married.
But what about if it makes them feel good?
What, being objectified? I don't think that's a good thing.
But if you know, say a woman goes, this girl's got nicer cheekbones than me, so I want to kind of contour in a cheekbone.
Right.
With my makeup.
Right.
And then she goes, I don't like my nose. It's a bit sort of wobbly and bulby, so I'm going to contour in a bit of my nose. So she's already into the makeup right now.
Right.
And then she's like, you know, my lips are a bit small and I want to put some nice lipstick on. And I feel better. I feel more beautiful. Well, I think it's nice that people feel good about themselves. I mean, I was saying it was going to be pretty hard to live in a Mohammedan world, but it sounds like Calvin's world is like, put on the Victorian swimming costume, no makeup.
But this is it. People just go straight to the extremes. Like, oh, you don't want to show their ankles. No showing your ankles. It's like, it's not. Let's be reasonable here.
Can they
like,
show their ankles? Would you be happy with your daughter showing their ankles?
Of course. My point is
How far up the leg would you go? Below the knee?
Yeah.
Until
but
what
you don't,
age?
You don't need to have your thighs out. You don't need to have your midriff out. You don't need to have your boobs out. That or your bum. That's inappropriate. Like, we used to know what was appropriate, what's inappropriate. Now, because of liberalism, everything is appropriate. Everything's normal.
We've got to celebrate.
Why not? And we had the Met Gala. All these girls are naked. They're not dressed. They're naked.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
The Met Gala seems to be like a bit of a joke. But I mean, to a lot of people, that would be the greatest ambition in life to go there. How pathetic.
We have to set higher standards. Yeah. And again, it's not oppressive. It's not about men saying, oh, women should do this. It's about women taking responsibility and saying to their daughters, no, you can't walk out of the house like that.
Well, I mean, that's a classic trope from American TV shows and stuff like that. It's like, you're not leaving the house just like that.
I don't think they do anymore. They go, oh, yeah, she's so empowered. Look at her.
And then what's so weird is that, like, we're now forced to, the ugly side effect of it is we now have to find ugly people beautiful. So we've got to look at, like, Lizzo and go,
Do we? Do we?
Well, I don't. But, you know, and you see it wittering its way around the internet. You've got to look at Lizzo and you've got to affirm her massive, chunky, diabetic body.
The fact that we're talking about Lizzo's body just tells us that that's what she's put out about herself, right? I don't know her music. I couldn't tell you one song. I can picture that kind of Star Wars-esque kind of... And I shouldn't have to.
It's on
she deserves Calvin better. Kleinert, she should have more respect for herself. Women deserve better than what they're getting right now.
Yeah. I certainly think women are being sold a pup in the same way as men are being sold a pup. Like, men are being told that if they're, you know, if they just feminize themselves a bit, they'll get a better class of women. But the facts of the matter are, as Pearl quite rightly points out, it's only 20% of men that get laid anyway.
I don't know if that's a statistic.
Well, it's 20% of men are attractive to women.
Okay.
So
is that true?
Yeah. 1 in 5.
Based on what?
Based on the data.
Surely all men are attractive to women and all women are attractive to men.
No.
There's someone for everyone.
If women will take one out of the group, but mainly on their social media, on their dating app data, it's 20% of men that gets wiped a lot and the rest get ignored.
Okay. So I suppose that's based on purely superficial dating app kind of your aesthetics rather than the whole person.
Should aesthetics come into play?
I mean, of course it does. It's human nature. We're attracted to people first and foremost by our senses. And that's...
I think smell is more important than sight, weirdly. I've met some really, really, really hot women that I fancied a lot until I've smelt them.
Mm.
And when I say smelt them, I just caught a whiff of them.
Yeah, you didn't do a Joe Biden. No, you're right. Smell, of course, smell comes.
Maybe that's what Joe Biden's doing. He's trying to...
Anyway.
Let's stay away from Joe. If you got an envelope for me.
Mm.
Well, we come to the conclusion that good, he's out.
Yes.
Vile little ideological twat. Okay.
What have I got?
I have... What on earth could I have this week? Right. Oh, it's big. Mail online.
Yep.
Ah, no, this is interesting.
Yep.
The 18... Well, it's interesting that you gave it to me. The 18 demands Muslim vote group issued to Keir Starmer after dozens of pro-Gaza activists were elected to councils across the UK, including our Green Party friend who's... way of celebrating the fact that he was going to make the planet greener was by shouting Allahu Akbar.
Yeah.
From cutting military ties with Israel to ensuring insurance quotes don't cost more for someone called Muhammad. Makes sense. Why should Muhammad?
Do they currently?
What? I don't know. That's I'm about to hit you up with the demands. Let's go through the demands.
Yes, you got them. Yeah.
So this is the Muslim Vote at Muslim Vote UK on social media. I've signed up to their, I've subscribed to their thing so I can keep an eye on them.
Yeah, good. Someone is.
Okay, Keir Starmer, if you're serious, here are our demands. Let's break them down.
First of all, who are they to make demands? Sorry, Karim.
Sorry, I happen to agree with you. I do wish British people would turn around and go,
right,
okay, here are our demands. Scrap net zero.
Yeah.
Have a proper armed forces.
Curb immigration.
Curb immigration. Stop woking our children in school and stop transing people. Yeah, that would be my demands. But we're not organized. We don't make demands. We're twats. Sorry. So here are their demands. Apologize for your comments. Green lighting a genocide and not backing a ceasefire in October, November 2023. What do you reckon?
A genocide. Oh, gosh. The emotive language these people use. I mean, they're gaslighting right there.
So they're basically saying, be on Hamas's
pick
side.
Pick a side on this, and it's got to be the
right. So that's side. Yep. One, that's first demand is be on Hamas's side. Yep. Green lighting a genocide. Oof, interesting. Okay. Sanctions on companies operating in occupied territories, sanctions on settlers. So that's diverse. That's the, you know, the movement, isn't it? The
it's like which territories are occupied?
Yeah, by who? Oh, it's already sounding a bit anti-Jewy.
It is very anti-Jewy.
Right, let's go to three. Recognize Palestine state.
What state?
Mm.
Where? I don't know what the topic
is. So is that calling for a two-state solution?
I don't think so.
Or a one-state solution from the river to the sea. Keir Starmer will be free. The Muslim Vote 4, travel ban on all Israeli politicians that prosecuted this war and support illegal occupation. Fuck off. Sorry, even I'm annoyed at that one. That's like travel ban on Israeli politicians that prosecuted this war after you broke into their homeland and massacred their innocent men, women, and children.
I think people would take them more seriously if they did acknowledge what happened on October the 7th rather than just pretending it didn't exist or that it was good.
Yeah.
They'd have a more legitimate
argument. It's literally that simple. We'd take them more seriously, wouldn't we? We would go, okay, you acknowledge that this wrong was caused.
Yeah.
You can make as many excuses as you want for it. You can say, well, we've been oppressed and Israel shut the borders and we got no clean water and our kids are getting killed by Israeli. So you come up with a million excuses, but just say it fucking happened.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, one man's murdering terrorist bastard is another man's freedom fighter. Because that does not fly with me.
Because they can't say that at the same time as a moment ago saying a genocide is happening on the other side. Like, if this is a war, if this is what's going on and the war was instigated, at least this part of the war, was instigated on the 7th of October, then they've got to acknowledge it.
Five, end military ties with Israel. So don't let them defend themselves.
Well, I mean, there is an anti-neocon argument to that in that we should have military ties with any country.
Why?
Because we should have military that defends our borders, defends our nation.
Did you see what happened the last time we tried to launch a nuclear missile? It literally plopped out the submarine and fell into the sea.
Right.
It's meant to fly 5,000 fucking miles. But
the question could be asked is, why are we investing so much in so many foreign dramas?
Because it's the forever war. It's how you impose ideologies on people.
Are we still funding the Ukraine? I think we are.
Yeah. Cameron said they're getting 3 billion every year for as long as they want.
Lord Cameron.
God. The guy is not even elected. He's a lord. The establishment promoted this little douchebag.
Just to get him back. Because they've got no one else.
When I was training for the marathon with my brother,
yep.
And I was running before I broke my shoulder.
Yep.
I used to run past Cameron every morning.
Really?
And my brother used to say some fairly pertinent things to him. Right. End military exercise. 6, issue guidance that Muslims are allowed to pray in school. No fucking way.
Not in British schools, mate.
No way. That's dominance.
Of course it is. There's still law of the land that every school, every public school in this country, or state school rather, should have some distinctive Christian worship. And none of them do it. So let's get back to that first and foremost.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about this other rubbish.
I'm starting to come up with my own list of demands here. Yeah. We need to work on these demands. So no way to 6. Implement findings of the People's Review of Prevent, not Shawcross. Okay, so it's take the lefty version, not the other version. 8, remove extremism definition Gove introduced.
Allow us to be extremist,
we
please.
We want no definition of the extremism. We like to kill the people with the bombs sometimes. It's okay. It's not extremist. It's freedom fighter. Yeah. I love it. Bollocks to this crap. Commit to full implementation of the Royal Charter RE media regulation to shut the media down and say Islamophobia at every available point.
We do that already, don't we?
Guess what number 10 is? Adopt the APPG definition of Islamophobia. No, it's not a real word. Doesn't exist like transgenderism. It's not a real word. Actually, yeah. There must be some people that are Islamophobic for no reason. They just go, oh, brown person, don't like them.
Yeah, but not all brown people are Mohammedans. I don't think you can have an irrational fear of Islam. I think it's easy to have a very rational fear of Islam because it's a very scary death cult.
Yeah, tell us how you really think. Commit to review of the public sector equality duty. No, thanks. The minute I read public sector.
Public sector equality duty.
Yeah.
Well, I don't even know what that one is, but it should.
Yeah. 12, increase council and public health funding for the 10% most deprived areas in the country to finally address systemic and chronic health inequalities as detailed in the Marmot review and revisited by the Health Foundation 10 years later.
I don't understand this. Is it that they're not getting enough free benefits? Go into areas
that have culturally self-isolated and
give them more?
Give them more money.
But are they not getting enough already?
Well, no. The Marmot review and the Health Foundation 10 years later. I would say that if you went to the most chronically underfunded parts of this country, you wouldn't find that many Muslims in it. That would be my guess.
Underfunded is as an infrastructure, yes. But most deprived parts in the country. Mm. I mean, there's another problem here in that there's a lot of benefit to tourism. I think if you're coming into this country and you haven't contributed anything towards taxes, you shouldn't get any benefits. You shouldn't get any free services. You should have to pay in.
That's why they come, though. Yeah, they get it for free. Anyway, I'm not as much of you in this kind of like Mohammedan stuff, but it's like, I've not got a list of like Indian demands or like Japanese demands or Jewish demands or Christian demands. Right. So we're fucking demands. It's like, leave us alone. You don't get to come to our country and give us a list of sodding demands.
Well, how many of these will be met?
Or I'll come to your country and I'll go, I'll leave you because you wouldn't like what would happen. But I'll come to your country and I go, I demand that my missus can strut down the beach in a bikini.
No, they'd imprison her and they'd kill you.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't give anyone any ideas. Right. Deliver alternative student finance. Give us more money. 14, ensure Sharia compliant pensions are available at every workplace so that 1/3 of Muslims without a pension get one.
Nope.
So a Sharia compliant, as far as I understand Sharia means you can't take interest. Is that correct?
Yeah, no usury. Yeah.
Which, that's a good law. Do we like that one?
I don't believe in specific laws for Mohammedans.
No, no.
They've got special Mohammedan mortgages where they get better rates than we do. They've got all this kind of stuff going on already. This shouldn't be happening. Mm. If you want a special Mohammedan mortgage, go to a special Mohammedan place.
But couldn't we, there's some good things. I quite like the lack of usury. So
we need to address the financial institution itself. Absolutely.
Maybe we take on that one. We could put it in our list of demands. Come on. Don't be Islamophobic.
I'm not taking any demands.
Don't be Islamophobic. Okay.
My fear is not irrational.
Okay. 15, ensure insurance quotes don't cost more for someone called Muhammad.
Why do they?
I'll tell you why. What's the most popular name in this country?
Mohammed.
There you go.
All right, so don't call your kid Mohammed then.
Yeah, change his name to something else. Like,
How have we gotten to a point where the most common English name is Muhammad?
It's called Uncontrolled Borders, Unfettered Immigration. No, we haven't
we've lost.
We
have lost. John Smith is dead. Muhammad has killed him.
John Smith is dead.
John Smith was always the most common.
I thought you were talking about the Labour leader. I was like,
no, John was always the most common English name. Smith was always the most common family name. Like, we used to have Christian names and family names. Now we have Mohammedan names.
Yeah. I think that's a bit... Yeah, well, I mean, you know, we deserve everything that's coming because no government and there's no political party and no one will do anything about this invasion. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's what it is. It's an invasion. And you can see it so clearly here in London. You're just like, this isn't a British city. Sorry. It's just not. This is the city of Muhammad. Like, I was in the East End the other day. It was just mosque after mosque after mosque, calls to prayer, everything. It was just like, okay. This isn't a Charles Dickens novel.
But it's just the West that's doing this. If I went to China or Japan or anywhere like that, I would not expect to see Muhammad amongst the top 10 names in the country. I'd expect to see Chinese names or Japanese names. So in Britain, I should expect to see British names.
Yeah. Yeah. You would have thought, wouldn't you? Okay. Commit 7% of LGPS public sector pensions to ethical and Islamic funds.
No.
No.
That's an oxymoron, ethical and Islamic.
Tell us how you really feel, Calv.
Always do.
17, oppose BDS, which is boycott, divest, and what's the other, what does it stand for, BDS? I don't know. It's anti-Semitic. I can't remember what the S stands for.
Yeah.
Boycott, divest, sanction. Boycott, divest, sanction. It's an American movement. Kick it out of law. No. Because we can't have racist laws.
No,
shouldn't have racist laws. Remove the archaic spiritual influence offence from hasn't printed out. That'll do. That there's more, but that'll do for starters. Our asks are sophisticated, and we built a consensus around them. Your sorrowful nun statements no longer cut it. I mean, it's a ransom letter.
Well, yeah, it's not a request; it's a demand. What happens if they don't get their demands?
They don't want to vote for him.
Oh, great.
So who are they going to vote for? The Greens. Hello, save the planet. Hello, Akbar, climate change is finished.
He wants their vote. So what's he going to do to compromise?
I think I think it might be an interesting paradox because any party that stands up against the LGBTQ stuff, like look at Galloway.
Yeah.
Galloway's really anti-woke. And that flies with the Muslim community. And Galloway gets a big vote share on off the back of that.
Yeah, he also stands up there and says Allahu Akbar, says his Muslim prayers, whatever. Because I think he converted, didn't he?
Well.
Although he keeps it all on the down low and doesn't admit it publicly. And when he is asked the question, he skirts around it because he's a snake. But
where is the British list of demands? The Christian vote?
I don't know.
Who's organised that?
I don't know.
Why has it not been organised, Calvin? You seem to be fairly well-equipped
to have written the list of demands.
I
have one demand. Let's return to common law. Let's return to the Englishman's home being his castle. And we are free in this land to do as we please as long as we're not breaking the law.
Yeah. The passive rights argument as opposed to the active rights. This is active rights.
Yeah.
And all conquering forces want active rights.
Of course they do.
All communists want active rights.
Everyone else's.
Yeah. You need passive rights where you're entitled to do something unless it interferes with something else.
Yeah.
God, that's made me really angry.
It should.
There's 4 million.
What people?
Subscribed to the Muslim vote. That's 4 million people.
Yeah, 4 million votes.
You know, you imagine if you got 4 million British people saying, I don't want net zero. I want at the end of cost of living crisis.
But pairing those 4 million with the fact that Brits don't come out because we've got voter apathy, like there's a lot of pressure there.
So we're leaving, is that it? We're doing what we're going.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people, I've spoken to a lot of people who are just saying I'm out. But then I'm like, people say, no, you've got to stay and fight for the country. And I'm like,
but who's fighting? Where?
Yeah. I'm like, I seem to get punched in the face a lot and nothing good comes of it.
No.
And I'm no theologian, but I can tell a fucking ransom note when I read one.
Yeah.
And that's a ransom note.
I genuinely think the British people are not ready to fight. We've got things have got to get worse first, and they will get worse. We've got
but they're already
5 to 10
really
years
bad.
Of a Labour government coming up. We've got Sadiq Khan's going to continue in London, but the whole country is going to come under this same umbrella, and it's going to be more wokeness, more Mohammedan appeasing at the same time, like two contradictory ideas going off in a party. The party is going to implode as well as the government, and the whole country is going to go to pot, but no one's willing to stand up yet, or very few people are willing to stand up yet. They need to see it for themselves. And actually, I think we're so selfish at the moment, it needs to affect us personally before we stand up.
Mm.
The reason there are so few people fighting is because there's been so few people actively affected by this rubbish and or cancelled and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We know them all. We can name them all. But until everyone's lives have been affected, we're going to have more of this.
Well, they try it. What I find so maddening about the whole thing is that they try it, what they want to bring in. And when I say they, I don't mean the Mohammed crowd. I mean the government.
Right.
And, you know, this desire for ever more centralized power is they're trying their methods of cancellation on individuals, and you can see it. And I am emblematic of that, as are you.
Well,
and it's like people should look at that and go,
they don't. They just say, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm okay. I'll carry on with my life. It doesn't affect me."
Is that cowardice?
I think so.
Can you respect people who do that?
I find it difficult to. Because it's the old premise of, I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. It's the whole, you know, they came for the socialists, but I wasn't a socialist. It's that over and over. We never learn these lessons.
We never learn.
And I care about this country. I love this country. I don't want this country to go to pot, but I can see it going to pot, and I can't see a way to fix it. We have no democratic way to fix it. We've got no civil disobedience way to fix it. There's not going to be a civil war either. I just don't know what's going to happen until things get worse. People wake up, and then there'll be a backlash.
And then it's going to be really hard because you're going to be looking at 50-50 by that point, and you're going to be looking at every single institution which has been totally corrupted by the woke. I think there is hope because you'll have you're going to have the next generation who just don't tolerate this stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
They don't tolerate the woke stuff. So you're taking woke 50% out of the oppressor class is gone. They're going to be laughed out of the crowd, and people are going to go, "I don't want to give you a nicer house than me."
Yeah.
Why should I? The whole idea of free market capitalism is you work hard and you get a nicer house.
Yeah.
You know, Blair spoke about this while he was lying through his teeth about Mondeo Man, didn't he? Right. You know, the guy that's comparing his Mondeo next to the next door's, you know, ST220, which if I had an unlimited amount of money, would be the first car I'd buy.
You're right. This is generational. The next generation does seem to be more traditional. And we spoke about last week how they're going to more traditional Catholic masses and that kind of stuff and Eastern Orthodoxy. But do we have the time?
No.
For them to grow up?
Well, no. Not when you're having five or six kids, and we're having less than two. And the two kids that we do have, we coddle so much that we infantilize. Well, no, we don't. We turn them into adults, but well before they can be. And then the adults infantilize themselves and keep checking in on the kids' feelings all the time. Yeah. I bet you overinsured Mohammed's not checking in on his kids' emotional well-being all the time. I think he's going to got six of you bastards. I've got to get out there and work.
Well, he's checking in on someone else's kids too much. That's the problem.
Calvin.
What?
Come on.
Pakistani Muslim rape gangs is a real serious problem.
I know Pakistani Muslim rape gangs, but I don't think the answer and the way out of this is to turn around and demonize every single Pakistani.
No, you know what? The answer is to deport every single person who would swear allegiance to Mohammed over Christ and this country.
Agree.
There we go.
I agree with that. Get out. Leave. If you want to live in a Muslim country, there are plenty of them.
There are too many of them.
Yeah. Go live there.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Okay.
But Bushra Sheikh said to me, if you don't like it, leave.
Yeah. There was a Mohammedan attacking people on Twitter the other day saying, if you don't like it, leave, go somewhere else. Let's go. What? This is our country.
Work if Mohammed Hijab is a real person. I know he is, but it's just such a silly name.
I couldn't believe that.
I mean,
the audacity to say, "Yeah, we're taking over your country. If you don't like it, bugger off." No, out.
I'm just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I know this is the.
I'm just like, fine. You know what? Have the city.
Yeah.
Turn it into another hellhole, shithole. I just do that. You know, no one wants to live in. And
import the third world. Become the third world. This is the problem.
That's
allowed it for far too long.
This is our home. We got nowhere else to go. So I'm going to go and make my home somewhere where it's still my home and reminds me vaguely of the country I grew up in, rather than an absolute, I can't believe that man got voted in. To do something happy, you've got to say a thank you to make.
Yes, I do. Sean Parker sent this in, and it's absolutely lovely. Thank you, Sean, for sending that. Love it. Thank you.
That's impressionism, isn't it?
Yes.
We like that. It's modern art.
I love these artists, honestly. I wish I had some artistic skill or talent.
You do.
But very nice to know. I don't, but it's once nice
we
to see
make you your bespoke sword, which is made of with a cross as well.
Yes.
Your artistry at slaying the enemy.
All right,
you're gonna
get training.
It could be quite good for the Fox and Father film.
Yeah,
where it's like you hold this. This is I've got the plot.
Okay,
so I'm like you're already part of the like. Knights of the Round Table, but you haven't told anyone. Okay. And to me, you're just like this normal guy who's a bit, you know, doesn't like Mohammedans very much. And then one day you take me because I finally like said the right thing and I've shown the right level of moral purity.
Yeah, you were like, yes, deport them. I was like, okay, come along.
you take me to your flat.
Right.
And then we walk in and you're like, okay, so you make me a cup of tea or something, and then you just press a button on the wall and it goes out.
Yeah, the bookshelves open.
And it's like a leather coat with crosses, which are also shurikens.
Yes.
And a giant, like, broadsword made of a cross. And that's where your artistry, as you take England back one town at a time.
Love it.
You ready?
Yeah.
Fox and Father, the movie.
Let's produce it.
I'm ready.
All right.
So if there's any multi-billionaires out there that want to see, let's just give you a quick acting test.
Oh no.
Say to be or not to be, that is the question.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
A bit overdone, you're overcooking it a bit. let go.
To be or not to be, that's the question.
That's no, you let go too much.
Somewhere in the middle.
Come on, just say it like you
to
mean
to be
it.
Or not to be, that's the question.
Oh, that is great. See, you're getting there now. Okay. I think you're trainable.
Thank you.
Okay, this is good. I like this. envelope 3?
Yes, let's get Theon's envelope.
Oh, it's a big one.
What's Theon thinking this week?
So I genuinely mean it. Any huge multi-billionaires who want to see make a film like I don't know what, like Robin Hood, but modern. Okay.
Robin Hood.
It's not racist. Everything's racist. Come on, it's not racist to air concerns about migration. BBC journalists are told. Official review says corporations whose issue through narrow political lens and overlooked impact on UK communities.
Yep.
It is not racist to air concerns about immigration, BBC journalists have been told in a review to the corporation's coverage. The BBC's coverage of migration contains risks to impartiality.
Really? Who'd have thunk it?
But they don't call them migrants, they call them asylum seekers.
Of course they do.
Everyone's called an asylum seeker. The independent report ordered by the BBC board revealed that its own journalists were anxious about tackling topics that could appear hostile to migrants. Why do we just give up our country?
Well, this is a good example of why, because these metropolitan liberal elites, the BBC types, they don't want to be seen as racist or xenophobic or bigoted in any way, shape or form. So they skirt around these issues. They're not even necessarily pro-migration. They're just afraid to address migration. And I think what this report gets to is that people on the right think that the BBC is left-wing and people on the left think the BBC is right-wing. And actually, no, it's got its own bias. It's got its own metropolitan liberal elite bias. And yes,
never having to suffer the consequences of its own ideology.
No.
They got a lot of walls around their own houses.
Yeah.
Locks on their doors.
Oh, yeah.
I did find out that someone very close to me had a refugees welcome sign in their
Sent
window.
Them around.
No, their friend did. Their friend said, there are loads of them down the road.
What did they say? I can't right now.
It's like, you know, it's a difficult time.
Of course.
Difficult time at the moment to welcome a refugee.
And hypocrites.
I hate them. But
the British people hate this too. That's the problem. Like the people watching the BBC see this stuff and think, this is affecting my area. My area has gone downhill. They just shipped in another 1,000 illegal immigrants into this hotel down the street. You know, crime's gone up. Hostility's gone up. It's not a nice place to live anymore. What's going to be done about it? And then you turn the BBC on and they're saying, we have to help these refugee seekers, these asylum seekers. And it's like, wait a minute. There's a disconnect between what's happening in my life and what I'm seeing on the telly.
Should there be a criteria by which we would accept a migrant, but we should accept an asylum claim?
Yeah, easy.
What is it?
Entering the country legally, first and foremost. So anyone that enters the country illegally should be instantly deported to wherever they came from, straight away.
Mm.
But anyone entering the country legally to seek asylum, the criteria should be, are they a Christian, first and foremost? do they subscribe to British values, secondly? So if they do to both of those, then there's a possibility. Are they being discriminated against and or oppressed, and or is the likelihood that they'll be killed if they get sent back home? These three criteria are very simple. If they adhere to a foreign hostile faith, such as if they follow the so-called Prophet Muhammad, then they should be declined.
No more Muslims.
No.
Okay. Well, at least you're fairly up about that. I'm sure there are some nice, there are some lovely Muslims who probably hate extremism as much as we do.
Well, then they should spend the time improving Muhammadan countries. The problem is we've got Christians being persecuted, oppressed, and killed in southern Sudan, northern Nigeria, Artsakh, Armenia, China, like all across the world. And we're not helping them. But we import people that, and these people have our values, but we import people that don't have our values.
I agreed with your point that you made before about saying, why are we not letting in refugees from Christian countries which are being attacked, you know, instead of the Albanian mafia?
Right.
The most common problem identified was the BBC often tells migration stories through a narrow political lens, reporting what high profile people are saying without really getting under the skin of the issue.
Right. So basically Gary Lineker.
Yeah, just swap the word high-profile people with Gary Lineker.
Yeah,
I do love some of the trolling of Gary Lineker over this stuff.
I don't know why he gets involved, though.
Well, because I know exactly why he's got involved. Because that man has some skeletons in his closet.
Yes. Yeah. I have heard of some of these skeletons.
Yeah, he's got some skeletons in his closet, does old Gary.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
careful, because he'll sue you into oblivion.
Well, I'm not saying what they are.
Yeah.
You know. You can come and ask me if you want.
Yeah.
I won't say it on air, but put it this way. Might involve a bowl by the front door. It also found a lack of confidence, time or expertise meant BBC journalists sometimes failed to carefully examine and challenge questionable statements.
Mm.
The report said that fully integrating political claims may help the BBC avoid presenting an overly polarised picture of the arguments. The BBC's reporting could also do a better job of distinguishing between different types of migration. Why not? According to the reviewers, audience would sometimes come away with a false impression that most migration to UK takes place via very small boat crossings. Most of the dangerous stuff does, I guess. Nicholas the Rota, he rings a bell. I don't know, I must have come across him.
But even the legal migration is out of hand. Now, the universities have basically become smuggling companies, making money on importing people and giving them visas rather than degrees. Mm.
I want to thank Madeline Sumption. Do you reckon she's a relation?
I don't know, actually.
She wrote the report for a thorough review and extremely helpful insights, which I hope become indispensable to newsrooms both in and outside the BBC. Downing Street declined to comment on the findings of an independent review of the BBC's coverage and of migration contains risk to impartiality, but said Rishi Sunak is acutely aware of the frustrations of the British people with the number of small boat arrivals that he does fuck all about. I hate these politicians.
Mm.
I hate anyone who would ever dream of trying to become a politician out of university.
Mm.
The minute someone has not had a real job and they want to be a politician, I'm like, don't vote for them. Don't vote for that person. Mm-hmm. That person wants to change your life because they think they've worked out a decent plan at uni.
No, not even. They just want the job. They want to be in that echo chamber of power. They don't want to change anyone's lives except for their own, vast majority of them. These people that spend all their time in Westminster, they just want to be in Westminster.
Yeah. So, plane have gone to Rwanda at great price. Why don't we just cut out the journey to the UK and just say, we'll buy you a, if you want to leave, fly you into Rwanda direct.
Let's just retake Brittany. If people are coming from that part of France and sailing over, France won't stop them. Let's take that bit of France back.
I'm up for an invasion.
Cool.
100%.
All right.
This is good.
Yeah.
We could... Which parts of France do you think we should are quite legitimately ours? Most of it, I'd say.
Yeah, especially that bit.
Down to Agincourt.
Yeah. I mean, the reason we're Great Britain and Brittany is Brittany, because that's Little Britain and we're Big Britain. Let's take that Britain back. Let's get all of that area back.
Who's going to call him? Do you want to get him to the phone to Macron?
What's Macron going to do?
Give it to us.
Probably speak to his husband about it.
Ooh. Calvin. What happened to you?
I don't know.
What is wrong? Speak to his husband about it.
Yeah.
Right.
Candace Owens published this theory that was quite
compelling. I know. I read the theory. I was just surprised that you were going to lob it out there.
Oh, I mean, he's blatantly of a certain persuasion.
Mm. en marche or something. What's it called? L'avance or en marche or something. So
it's not a good relationship anyway to begin with.
How do you know?
I mean, it's his teacher. That's grooming.
I had the hots for Mrs. Johnson.
Yeah, it's Ms. okay Johnson. For you to have the hots for her, but for her to have the hots for you, that's when the problem comes into it.
I don't know. They're both consenting adults.
Now, yes.
Well, 2 minutes.
I don't know. That power dynamic is not appropriate.
It's not appropriate. Oh, dear, Calv. We've really dug under the surface of Calvin's modern Britain today. Get into your Victorian swimming costume,
bring back
darling.
Appropriateness. Yeah, that Victorian era, as it ended into the Edwardian period, like that was the peak of British society. And
you could
civility.
Argue that that was woke.
What was woke?
I could make an argument for it being woke, you imposing could a singular ideology on an entire nation.
But it's not imposing. This
they did.
It.
The whole sort of
who
like
imposed it?
Stiff upper lip. It was imposed by, it was Victorian standards. It was part of the
standards,
way.
Standards, yes, but they're not imposed.
Like, well, you one might say down. That progressivism is a set of progressive standards.
No, because there's a legal impediment. If you don't follow the, if you don't call them by their new name and their pronouns, then you get a hate crime officer around your house knocking on your doors or whatever.
We're going to get a lot of hate crime officers.
They didn't have that in the day. Social stigma worked far better.
Do you think when I move, I'm able to, anyone could actually find out where I live?
Yeah, your neighbours will probably be snitching. You've had some dodgy neighbours.
Oh, I have, haven't I? Especially during the COVID party times. That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fun. It was
I good. Loved getting reported by the police every time and then just turning up and going, you're having a party in here? And we're going, no.
And they're like, sorry, we've got to be, we don't want to be here, but we've got to come and check.
This is a bubble. It just happens to have exploded into an even bigger bubble, but we're all part of the same family. This is Uncle Calvin.
You should have bought that house. That was a good place.
That house? Yeah. Yeah, not for me. London's done. I'm done. I do not want to look out my window. You know what? I did think this one through. £20 million wouldn't get me a house. I wouldn't live in London.
No.
It wouldn't. It just wouldn't. It's why everyone builds these giant basements.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, with gyms in them and cinemas because they just want to be away from the glare of all of this. There's no amount of money you could pay me to live in this shithole anymore. No. There is none. There's none. It was like at the end of Lewis. I said, there's no amount of money you could pay me to do Lewis anymore.
Yeah. But sometime you've got to say no, enough is enough and walk away.
Mm.
And I don't think it's retreatist either. I think it's sensible. It's regathering, regrouping.
When are you going to share your news with us?
When I can.
All right. Well, I think that was a bit feisty.
Yeah.
This week.
Okay.
What's Barack Obama's partner called?
Michael. I don't know. What's
Barack Obama's partner, spouse?
Michael. is it not?
Big Mike.
I don't know what's going on with this. They're just rumors, as far as I know. I mean, they're believable rumors, but they're rumors.
I know. I feel sorry for us.
There's all kind of dodginess going on.
There's a lot of dodginess going on.
I think Big Mike might want to run, actually.
Big Mike want to run.
Yeah.
I don't.
You don't think?
No. I think when you've got $340 million houses and as much greenhouse gas tanks as you can and as many servants as there are.
Yeah, but it's not
why
about that, is it?
Earth would you want to run
it's the for? Power, the prestige, they love
they've
it.
They've got the power and prestige. They've got all the millions in the bank, you know, from being on the thing.
I just don't think money's enough for these people.
Yeah, certainly it's power is more of a driving motivator. But
I think Barack's enjoyed his third term and they're going to want another one. And I don't think Biden can survive another one. So they're going to look for a way eventually to get Big Mike in.
Well, you heard it here. Third or fourth, ladies and gentlemen. Go and buy one of those if you want. And we're opening up, we'll have more things, won't we, soon? We've got plans to put
exciting times.
More bits and bobs because we were surprised at the way that the mugs sold. And have a blessed...
I think it's a way for people to own a part of the show and to get involved. It's great.
Be part of it. We should sign some mugs.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Shouldn't we?
Yeah.
And you can have a free CD from my latest album.
Oh, yeah.
No, I haven't got
it. Isn't that how it all started? You're plugging your latest album?
Yeah. No, I need to do some music. That's
another Jeremy Vine.
Looking forward. Oh, my God.
He would never invite you back now, would he?
Well, my one with Yasmin Alibi Brown is the only Jeremy Vine that has never been put on catch up.
Really?
Because she called me a racist.
She was awful. She was absolutely awful.
She's a vile woman. Why is she on telly? Well, no, she's not a vile woman, but why she's on telly, I just don't know. She's on there to make it look like brown people are as stupid as she is.
Racism.
But hey, we're the racists. Never mind. To you, yes, I think Calvin's right. Become part of the family, which you already are, which is lovely. And we will see you next week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's bye from me.
Take care and God bless.
See you later, team.